Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadik Zayin, but we're a bit behind, and we're going to start from... We did the Mishnah yesterday, but let's review it once again. I think we did the Mishnah yesterday. Ben Tesha Shanim B'Yom Echad, She'amal Yibinto Omet, Choletzet Volomet Yabemet. So we have over here the halacha of a child who is 9 years old. Once he's 9 years old, he's capable of intercourse. And he goes ahead now and takes his Yavama, and now he dies. Because we have over here the classic problem over here of having a woman who falls from two different houses. She is partially his wife, but since he's only a katan, she's not fully his wife. So this is the equivalent of one of the brothers who does ma'amar and then dies. We had the case before of a brother, an adult brother, does ma'amar and dies. So now we cannot take his wife, a surviving brother cannot take his wife for Yibun, because she's falling from two separate brothers, and it can only be one brother that she comes from. Okay, that's where we learned Gzeirat Rabbanan. Mi she'aleha zikat yavam echad, we had before, v'lo she'aleha zikat shnei yavamim, and over here this is zikat shnei yavamim, the equivalent of ma'amar. It's important to stress that, too, that it is indeed the equivalent of ma'amar. Now, Nasa Isha Vameid, Stam, if he married a woman and he died, she's Bechlal not married to him. So in other words, this is a halacha that is unique to Yibum. A Kotan who marries a woman, even though, could you sit over there so I can have the pleasure of looking at you at least? Richard's not here. You know, my problem is I keep turning my head. Every time I turn my head, that's right. Okay. So, fine. So again, if he marries, the marriage is ridiculous. But if he does Yibum, then the Chachomim gave him a kinyan. That kinyan being the equivalent of Ma'amar, because the Zika, after all, is a Diraisa, even to a Katan. And because of that, we have a situation in which this woman, who now falls to Yibum from him, in a case of Yibum, where he got her through Yibum, still has on her the Zika of the first brother who died years before, and has on her also this Rabbanan Zika from the second brother, now the child who died. And that is different from a child that Stam gets married to a woman and dies, because if he's a child, a male who's a child, doesn't have Kinyonim, and therefore, even though, as we stressed, we view it as advantageous to have a child married, so that we even tell the father, go ahead and marry off your youngster, who's not yet 13, but it's not really a Kinyon, even though the Rabbanan encouraged that they didn't make it a Kinyon of marriage. Therefore, there's no din of Yibum. Sorry, Zuptura. Again, all of this we did yesterday. I just want us to get into it so that we can do the details of the sugya. Ben Teshi Shana V'Yamecha. Sheba Al Yevimto. And here he takes a Yibum as a child. Then, a week later, he now is Bar Mitzvah. And now he takes a second wife. Mishig Dil Nasa Yisha Acheret. And now he dies. So now the problem is like this. One of these women, he's married to Minarabonim. And one of these women, he's married to Minaraisa. So, Im lo yadat arishana mishigdil, if he never slept with his first Yavama since the time that he became Bar Mitzvah, so then the first one, harishana choletzet v'lomet yabemet, the first one is in the same case as the opening case of the Mishnah. She still has his Zika. She hasn't yet been completely patura either from the first brother to Zika, because he only slept with her as a cotton. The only way to take off the Zika is to have an adult sleep with her to be Mekayim the Yibum, and that wasn't yet done. Since she falls from Shnei Batim, we have halacha that you're only allowed to buy at Echad, you're going to not be Shiyesh LaZika Shnei Batim. Okay. Now, in that case, the first one, therefore we cannot do Yibum to. The Shnia, we can, however, the second one was the Tzara, okay, now we pointed out that this is a problem. Because we had earlier a Gemara of exactly this case, except that Gemara was talking about an adult who did Maimer, which is the equivalent of a 9-year-old who does Bia. Exactly the same case. Zikat Shnei Yavami. And we said that in a case where there's a second wife who indeed is a full wife, he's been married to another woman for the past 20 years. Now his brother dies, he goes ahead and gives her Maimer, and before he has a chance to finish the Yibum, he dies. In that case, earlier we said, you can't take either of the women, because it's too confusing. He's going to go ahead now, and he's going to do chalitza to the first one, and then he's going to go ahead and he's going to take the second one. So now we got a real, I mean, people are going to say, what do you mean? Two women, guy who's married to two women, so you take both of his wives. That's the chat. So then we're chayshish. Indeed, it'll turn out that maybe we'll do the opposite. We'll go ahead now, give chalitza, and someone go ahead then, and now actually do yibum. And that's mamash pigia in erva, literally, in a case where a person died leaving to wash or make gzeira. Why don't we make that gzeira over here? It's exactly the same case. A katan zvi is the equivalent of a minor of agara. And yet here we say, nah, the tzara is not a problem. Now Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is going to talk about this. Now Rabbi Shimon, whose shita is, we saw before, and he argues on two different things. He's arguing really on the Tanakhama. We know his shita. A his shita that we saw yesterday in the previous Mishnah is that there's no such thing as a semi kinyan to the katan. Either the katan who was meyabim, it's a full kinyan, because since the Torah created the zika, the katan doesn't require his das to be kinyan. He only requires the act. The act he does. Once he's 9 years old, he's capable of the act. It's just the das he doesn't have. So therefore, he would be kena, maybe d'oraisa. And if he's not, then he's not kena at all. There's no partial kinyan for the katan. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, look, there's no problem over here. You can be miyab in either one. You take the first one, the one that had been married to the older brother who had died, and you say, look, honestly, I don't know why I'm taking you. You may be my kid brother's wife, you may be my oldest brother, ex-wife, who both have died, right? But whatever it is, if you're chayeves yibum, because you never got yibum, because a katan's yibum was meaningless, so you were never married to my little brother. So I'm taking you because I need to be making shame for my older brother. If my kid brother, in fact, had already taken you and you were his wife, so then I'm taking you to be making shame on my kid brother. But either way, I'm going to do yibum on you. So there, what's the problem, says Rabbi Shimon. Not to mention the fact that Rabbi Shimon Bichlal disagrees with this whole idea of Misha Yeshala Zikas Yavamecha Gloshne Yavam, as we saw earlier. So therefore, you could take whichever one you want, as long as you don't do Yibum to both of them. Because there you got a problem. Suppose, indeed, the kid brother's Yibum was a good Yibum, and now both of these women are falling from the same guy. Now how can you do Yibum to two women from the same guy? The second one is in Chayeves in Yibum, and you'll be taking the wife of your brother, which is an Isser Karis. So obviously you can't do that. But you can take either one first, as long as you do only Chalitza to the other one. That way there's no Chashash that you're going to be Pogei HaBeirava. So everything is fine. First do Yibum, then you can be Chayeves L'Shniya. Now when we say he's 9 years old, the Mishnah also said 9 years old doesn't mean 9 years old necessarily. He could be 19 years old. And it would be exactly the same thing. What's important to us isn't age when it comes to this halacha of kinyan. Obviously, age is important to provide genitals, but it's not important to provide das. Because as we know, it doesn't help to be a bar mitzvah. What we need is puberty. So over here, if we have a 19-year-old who is still prepubescent, looks prepubescent, turns out he'll never reach puberty because he's hormonally defective, fine. But until that is established, and we'll see in the Gemara, when is that established? There's two ways to establish that. Either to establish it at age 20, when there are also positive signs of sterility, the signs that we talked about earlier, which had to do with the mode of urination, whether the urine forms a kippah, or whether he's mala hevel, or his voice, did his voice break, does it sound like a girl, is his skin very smooth, and so on and so forth, all the issues we talked about earlier. If, however, he looks, basically, doesn't fit any of those categories, and he still is prepubescent, then we wait until he's 35, as we'll see, as Rav Shnosov. At that point, he becomes an adult. Our Mishnah that is saying he could be 20 years old, v'lo evish tei sarot, we're going to talk about later on, is referring to one who does not have the simonim of Srisut. Omar Rav, okay, so starting today's Gemara, Omar Rav. The deal that the Rabbanan told us already in a number of places, that if a woman falls from two brothers, she can only get chalitza and cannot get yibum. Don't think that the basis of that gezera is a case where the man who died now also has another wife. And therefore, what is the gezera? The gezeira is, what if we're going to go ahead now? He only did ma'amar. People in the street are going to think, oh, okay, so in other words, it's his wife. He goes ahead now and dies. He's got two wives. Hey, looky, looky. They went ahead, and they did yibum to both wives. Little knowing that the yibum of the first one that they were doing was because she was his wife. But the yibum of the recently acquired through Maimer Yavama is not really his wife. It's only a derabbanan. And the real reason that the third surviving brother is doing Yibum is because of the earlier marriage to the first brother who died. So they're going to come to the conclusion, aha, Apparently, every woman in the household requires Yibum. Therefore, we can't allow you to do Yibum. Now, that's a reasonable thing, but it's wrong. Because in this case, in the opening case, the halacha is not referring to a child who has another wife. That was the second case. The first case is a case where you have Zika Shnei Yevamim all on her own. He doesn't have any other woman in his life, except for this brother's wife that he just took as a katan. Now, he's been sleeping with her as man and wife for a year already, since he was 9 years old. But that doesn't matter, because he's never done Yibum, because he's a katan. And nonetheless, we make this gezerah anyway, despite the fact there's not another wife there, right? So clearly the basis of this takana is not in a case where you have a tzora, it's any case. The Rabbanan say, you cannot take a shnei bayis that has two zikas on it. So teme hechni ketzora, we're over there, hechni mikzah b'shem tzora, where the whole basis of the problem is because there's a tzora. No, that's not the case, because right over here, hachalek tzora. There is, in the opening case of the Mishnah, no tzora, and nonetheless, the Mishnah says, befares, you cannot do yibum, despite the fact that it ought to be not a problem at all. I mean, there's nobody else that's involved. So in other words, this halacha stands on its own, that there's a zikas, an isser of misha yesh alea zikas shnei yabmi. Okay, the reason is because people will get confused indeed, perhaps, with a yavama that comes, a case where there's two yavamas that come from one bias, and over here there's basically two yavamas, so to speak, there's two bottom that's coming in one yavama. So we made that gezer. Now then it says, if the child goes ahead as a child, forget about Yibum, he goes ahead, he marries a woman, stop. So he's a 9-year-old with a wife. Now he dies. It says over here, there's no din of Yibum, despite the fact that this is not considered to be that they were just living together, having fun. They really are, so to speak, officially married, at least they have a marriage certificate, but they're not really married. And this is Tanina L'Hadatana Rabbanan. This is basically what we saw already in a brisa, namely, Shote v'katan shenasu, a shote and a katan, who are not capable of creating kinyoni, who go ahead and get married anyway. The halacha is that if they die, meitu nishoteim p'turot minachalitza minayivam. So therefore, we never saw that before in a Mishnah, but it does come out very clearly from this Mishnah, and it's here that Taisa says, even though there is no din of nisuin for a katan, it is nonetheless a mitzvah for a father to see to it that his child is married, despite the fact that he's only 10 years old. The reason, it's not really only 10, but before reaching puberty, and he's still a child. We saw that earlier, v'yadata ki shalom alecha, means make sure that your kids get correct sexual experience early and not sit there repressed and internet-oriented, which can only lead to problems. So it's a bigger mitzvah to give children an education the right way, not the wrong way, even though we never create the vehicle for it. So fascinating, it's the only place that I can think of. You have a choice. Either you're making something kodesh, so to speak, at least been a rabbanan, or you're not. Or whoever heard of such a thing, but it's a good idea. I just, what do you mean it's a good idea? Znus. We say it's not znus. Okay, we say it's not znus, so then create a mechanism. We don't need a mechanism. It's a good idea. So where exactly is the line that separates znus from elements of kedusha? It's a stunning new thing that requires a lot of analysis. But here's where Taisus stresses. Don't think because it's not nisuin that this is znus. It's not only not znus, it's even a mitzvah, as we saw earlier. There are those rishonim who learn that the v'yadata kishalom alecha means right after reaching puberty. Here he's understanding that it means somach l'pirkan right before reaching puberty. So if you have a 12-year-old son, get him a girl. Set him up. Right, it does. It sounds funny, but remember, in Europe this was very, very common because of the army issues. Somebody was, they would take 13-year-olds to the army. They'd take 12-year-olds to the army, and it was basically a lifetime thing. I mean, you were taken by the Russians, that's where you stayed. And it was horrific. This used to be done all the time. If you were married, then they wouldn't take you to the army. So they would marry the kids off. It was always a question, you know, when they had a bar mitzvah, is his wife going to be there? You know, these cases. It's not funny, it's a tragedy, but that's very well. There's two sides to the bar mitzvah. The sides aren't talking to each other.
Yeah, right.
Very nice. All right, so we have here a riot to this halacha. Ben Teisha Shanim, and now, Mishi deals to the second case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah has to do with Yibum. we ignore that little piece about his going and marrying, not to do with the halacha of his being miyamim. The same case even with the Mishnah is the katan after his bar mitzvah couldn't get enough of a good thing, and he takes a second wife. Now he has a real wife because he was a gadol at that time. So we said, okay, the second wife is no problem. In fact, she's a real wife. You can do either Yibum or Chalitza. But the first one is a Zika Shnei Yabim, because he never slept with her since he became Bar Mitzvah. And therefore, we can only do Chalitza on her. But the problem is, as I pointed out to you earlier, V'yeasu B'yad Ben Teisha, K'ma'amar B'gadol V'tidachet Tzara Mi'yibum. Didn't we say earlier that in exactly this case, when a brother, in this, not exactly this case, but technically exactly this case, when a brother who is an adult does ma'amar, which is exactly the same as a brother who is a katan doing bia, creates a semi-state of marriage, a drabbanan state of marriage, we said that the tzora can also not get yibum, because we're worried about the possibility of somebody dying, leaving two wives, and then someone doing chalitza to one and yibum to the other. And that would be terrible. Because then he would be over on his Yisrael. Horrific. So we answer. How come over here we don't answer? Omar Rav, because lo asu biyat ben teisha kemamar begadol. We don't give it mamish a halacha that is exactly the same. People don't confuse the situation of an adult who gives a regular kiddushin, but to them it's a regular kiddushin. I mean, they see the whole thing, it's so cute, and they had the music playing and everything else, and he gives it a ring, and it's the whole deal, but it's ma'amar. Okay, but they're not machalic in their minds. Masha Inke, in the case of Yerba Bias Ben Katan, is not exactly the same halacha, and people can differentiate between this and a real case where a guy dies leaving two wives. Shmuel Omer, Asuviaso, oh boy, did they. Absolutely, there is exactly the same status. People look at the Bias Ben Kat, they've been living together as man and wife, exactly the way they would have looked at the Bimer problem. V'chein Omer, Yochanan, Asuviaso, they absolutely did. Don't give us any of that stuff, nonsense. A Bias Ben Katan is exactly the same as a Bimer. Oh, it is? So then, V'yasu, then why don't we make it, my Kasha was? So then, if it's the same, then it ought to be the same in terms of asering the tzora. And yet, you said over here, you can go ahead and you can marry the tzora. Explain yourselves. There's no explanation. It's obviously a machlokas, tanoi. I mean, obviously, the earlier Tana that we had in the Perek of Arbachim, he was worried about the issue of having this case specifically because of the problem of the tzora. So therefore, he made the gzeira, therefore, of the iser on the tzara, because he was afraid of other cases where someone would die leaving two wives. And therefore, you're saying, so why couldn't he tell us the same halacha by a katan? He could have. To him, it would have been exactly the same if the earlier Mishnah had said a katan who got married, we would have said aser. Why didn't he? Because the Mishnah is over there, we're talking about a gadol. I mean, this is the parak that's talking about a katan, that's all, but basically, it's exactly the same halacha. The ma'amar of a gadol, according to this man, the yamar, asers the tzara in a case where the woman, where he dies before he's able to consummate the yibum, and therefore it would have been exactly the same case if he had been a katan and had died before he consummated the marriage as a gadol. Exactly the same halacha. Except that we didn't mention ayyamik begadol, mishum de begadol. The only reason he mentioned gadol as opposed to katan, you see what happens? People make this mistake all the time. They take non-essential differences and they make that the reason. Because people don't know how to evaluate the real statistics. They say, aha, look at this. In a case where he was a katan, halacha was the tzara was wanted. But in a case where he was a gadol, a gebimer, that proves that the issue is, are you a katan or a gadol? Right? It's like the wonderful conclusions that vaccination caused death, or so and so. Exactly the same thing. You can't distinguish what the factors are. So, I couldn't resist. So if you can't distinguish the factors, you make that mistake. So if you thought that, it's a coincidence. It simply was coincidental. The earlier case would have been exactly the same if it was a cotton. This case, according to Zman Yomer, would have been exactly the case if it was a gadol with Maimer. Don't let that fool you. And how did it come at the cotton? Why over here does the mission, therefore, this Zman Yomer speak about the halakha terms? Because we've been talking about a cotton, that's all. But as far as this halakha is concerned, exactly the same. Hai de kama be katan is because we're talking about a katan. The hai tana de hocha, I'm sorry, I skipped a little piece there. So, right? The hai tana de hocha is filo osu, And nonetheless, v'lo gozar mishum tzara, yashvin bekatan v'adin begadol, v'haydama bekatan v'bekatan koet. That's what we're talking about. Also, Rebbe Elazar amr l'shmaitz b'im b'drosha, v'lo yomr mishmei de Rebbe Yochanan. Now, Rebbe Yochanan would come up with this, look, I know it's hard for you to accept, but this is the reality, it's coincidence we're talking about katan begadol. So now Rebbe Elazar, who was a Talmud of Rebbe Yochanan, he went ahead and he said over this whole explanation of Beis HaMidrash. I mean, wow, that's brilliant. Of course that must be the pshat. And he did not say, Rebbe said. He just said it himself. Shama Rebbe Yochanan Ikbid. Rebbe Yochanan heard that he had gone to the Beis HaMidrash and said this over and hadn't said that he had heard it from Yehu. He was very angry at him. So Olegabe Rabami Rabasi. So Rabami and Rabasi felt terrible because Rebbe Yochanan was furious at Rebbe Elazar. And they wanted to make him feel better, he shouldn't be angry, and that it's not a good idea to be angry b'chol. So they came to Rav Yochanan and they said, hey, wasn't it true that there was a mice in the Beit HaKnesset Shel Tveria? Where over there they were arguing about a neger, sheyesh biyad brosho glustra. Remember we had the case, legabe mukta, where you have a piece of wood that's used to hold a door over, a door stopper, and it has a usage as a kli, because it has a little ball on top that makes it easier to move. And you could use that, really, if you wanted to, as a pestle. But, okay. There, so it's a machlokas whether that's mutter to move on Shabbos or not. And that was a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Elazar, was the Amora, obviously, Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. This is the Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamar. And between Rabbi Yossi, and they were chaverim, and they were arguing, and everybody was bringing a raya. See, in those days, when they brought rayas, they brought a raya from the Torah. This diak and that diak, and they're pulling on the Sefer Torah, and there it is, they tear the Sefer Torah into two. And what happened was that the Sefer Torah got out, Shekaru Sefer Torah B'chamatan. They tore the Sefer Torah, they got so angry. Karu? Sakatai? What do I mean? They tore a Sefer. No, Chas V'Sholom, I mean, Shemnikra Sefer Torah B'chamatan. We're calling it they tore because you don't know how to behave. You can't, as if you went out and tore the Sefer Torah. But they got so heated in the discussion that this one is pulling the page. So, and what about here? And the Sefer Torah ripped. And Rav Yossi ben Kisma, who was in that Beit HaKnesset in Tveria, he said, well, now I see where we're holding. Tamei ani im lo yeh Beit HaKnesset zuha v'dat kochavim. I will be shocked if this place doesn't turn into a church one day. Because people get so angry. That's like a Beit HaKnesset. Somebody who tears things in their anger, lose control. It's the church that you do whatever it is that you want. You're the whole world, so you make up God also in your image. I'll bet you it'll be a church one day. V'chein habi, and indeed it became a church. Unfortunately, yes. V'chein habi. So they figured, okay, Rabbi Yochanan will hear this. He's been so angry, you know, you don't want your best message to turn into a church, Rabbi Yochanan. So they figured I'd make a good impression on him. Now he gets doubly furious. Now it was even more mad. Hunter he betray. He said, it's bad enough. It's bad enough what Rebbe Elazar did. You guys, now you're turning him into my chavrusa. These guys were chavrusas. Chavrusas don't get angry at each other to that extent. But I'm the Rebbe over here. I'm supposed to get angry. Now you're turning my talmud into chavrusa. Now I'm really angry. So he was even more angry. I'm a chabrusa now. Oh, now he's become my chabrusa to no good man. Wasn't bad enough, he didn't quote me. So Rabbi Yaakov Barini heard about it. We better do something fast before the whole place blows up. We know what Rabbi Yochanan used to happen when Rabbi Yochanan got angry, right? It was a terrible tragedy. Yeah. So Rabbi Yaakov Barini goes and he says to Rabbi Yochanan, you know, it says beferish, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe Avdo, Kein tziva Moshe et Yehoshua, V'chein asa Yehoshua, Lo esir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Now, I'd like to understand. The whole, it says everything that Moshe taught him. So in other words, basically every word that Yehoshua was saying, he was saying the things that, not one thing did he say that hadn't come from Moshe. Right? That's what it says over here. Do you really believe that every time Yehoshua opened up his mouth, he said, and Moshe further said, I mean, is that what you think? Does it mean that v'chiyakol davar shamar Yehoshua haya omer lam kach amar li Moshe? Of course not. Yehoshua spoke, stop. Yehoshua yosheva doresh stop. There wasn't one person in all of Klal Yisrael who didn't know that Yehoshua is a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that he's not claiming chas v'shalom to be made up a new Torah. He is saying over Torah's Moshe, v'akol yodim shetorat Moshe. Therefore, I say, Rabbi Elazar is your complete and total and 100% reliable Talmud. Nobody would think for a moment that a word that he says isn't coming directly from you. So what do you expect? Every single time he opens his mouth, he has to say, Kach Amar Rebbe. Obviously, Kach Amar Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan. What else would a man like that say? Now, of course, this is twisting the whole thing around. Right? So, oh, so Rabbi Yochanan says. So they tell him, Rabbi Elazar, Talmidecha, Yosheva the Reshtam, Vako Yodim Kishalchahi. So then Rabbi Yochanan turns around and he says to Rabasi and Rabami, Nu, this guy knows how to be Mephias. Here's our good friend. This is Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. He knows how to talk like a mensch. You guys come in here and make things worse. He knows how to be Mephias. Anyway, how come Rabbi Yochanan was so angry? I mean, what's the big deal? It was like, in quote, Rabbi Yochanan, it's not the end of the world yet. I have now a whole big question. They're going to tear us for terror. Place going to become a church. This sounds awfully drastic, a lot more drastic than it should be. Rabbi Yochanan, my time a kapi kulei. And this is, we've seen more elsewhere, the Omer of Yoram Rahab, my dechtiv agura v'ohalecha olamim. It says here, David HaMelech was mevakesh, I should live in your tents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in worlds. Now, how do you live in two worlds at once? What do you mean, olamim? Olamim? You want to say, in eternity? Say, la'olam. Olamim means two worlds. V'chiev shalo la'adam la'gur b'shnei olamim. How can a person live in Olam HaZeh and in Olam HaBa, all at the same time? Elamar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam. What it means over here is that David was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Yiratzai, she yomru debar shmua mipi, b'Olam HaZeh. After I die, and I'm sitting in the base of Edrish in the sky, I want my ma'amorim to be quoted by people on earth. Why? The Amr of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Kol Talmid Chacham Shomrim Dvar Shmua Mipiv B'Olam HaZeh, Siftotav Dovavot B'Kever. A human being who is quoted after his death in this world, it's as if his lips move in the grave. So that means that this, even though I am really in the Shemaim, I'm B'Yeshiva Shel Mala, but it's as if I'm still existing and moving and learning among the living, because people are quoting me. And therefore, I'm asking that should be the case. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Zeira Vitema Shimon Nezira. My Kra, where do we see that there's such a concept in Tanakh? Because it says, Bechichech Tiyen HaTov Holech V'Dodi L'Meisharim Dovev Sifte Yishenim. This is a very strange thing. Your mouth is sweet as the best wine. And then it says, making those who are asleep, move their lips. Dovev, to be medavev, means to make a person speak. So dovev siftei yeshenim. What does that have to do with having your kisses sweeter than wine? Right? This is mamash sweeter than wine. So how does the pasuk make any sense? I'll tell you what it means. When we talk about ki yein hatov, when yein hatov has to come first from a carefully cultured grape. And now you sit there, you have to get the grape at the right time. And that's not just a matter of the correct picking. But also, you need to take the grapes, you need to put them in what's called a coma, where they sit and they gradually heat from the oxidation, and they soften, and then you get them at exactly the right moment for pressing. There comes a point in the coma in which you just touch the massive grapes, and it immediately starts leaking wine. So that's what it's talking about over here. It's coma shel anavim. Ma coma shel anavim, kivin sheminiach adam etzbo alav miyad doved. You get it immediately. It's like a gel. It becomes like a gel. So it looks like it's rochesh. Rochesh is lashon of dovev. It's like there's small movements in it. Av talmidei chachamim, kivan shomrim dvar shmua mipiyem b'olam hazeh, siftoteim dovevot b'kever. So we see that there's a concept of a touch that has ripples. Ripples has a ripple effect. A human being's words in this world have ripple effects. And the ripples go all the way back to the source of the one who said it. So it's as if those ripples are being generated by his moving lips, despite the fact that he's been dead for 1,000 years. And therefore, says David, to provide me a place in the world anyway is a place of ripples. Everything that we do is just define the olamim in terms of ripple effects. Halavai, I should be zocher, that these words that I'm saying in front of you, said David, should be quoted. And indeed, who is more quoted? Who is more quoted than David? It's amazing. And my wife goes through every word that he says. Every day he does the whole sefer. That's unbelievable. So that's the way it is. He was zocher to this thing.
So if it's not quoted in his name, I mean,
that's what we're saying.
Then it wouldn't be worse would move.
Right, but since everybody knows where it comes from,
then it's also
so this is the equivalent. That's exactly what we're saying. Such a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. After Melech Hakamim, Kivan Shomrim Dvar Shema Mipiem Bolam Hazeh, Siftoteyem Bevavot Bekever. Okay, now, the closing of the Mishnah was that even though we mentioned that we're talking about a 9-year-old, doesn't matter if he's 9 years old or he's 19 years old, or actually what the Mishnah does say is 20 years old, and that's a little bit disturbing, because we had before that sterility is defined at 20, which would mean that if he really is 20, and he still has never reached puberty, then he's not a cotton, and you said he is a cotton. You should have made that distinction, no? Ask the Gemara Varnim. Benesrim shana shaloi vishtesha asarot. If now he never reached puberty, so he doesn't have any pubic hairs. Yaviu ra'yashu benesrim, let him prove that he's 20 years old. And once we know that he's 20 years old, v'hu hasaris, so then lo kolets v'lo miyaben. We said earlier, because being as sterility, it passes either the woman, she's not, an islandess is not shayach to yibum, and a yavam who is sterile is not shayach to yibum, as we learn out from the pasuk, it has to be after royal akom hashem. So therefore, once he can show that he's 20 and he still is now a not reached puberty, so now he's a saris, now he's a gadol, and he's not kotzav yavim. Same thing is true of a woman. If she's 20 years old and she too is prepubescent and she now falls to yibum, all she has to do is show the court that she's 20 years old, and then she's a gedola, she's a betura, she's an islandess, lo koletzit v'lo mityabemet. And here you said if he's 20 years old, the cotton is 20 years, exactly the same. Not exactly the same.
It does say that. Say
no.
Still not.
No. Remember that das, it's very important to remember that das is not a function of age. It's not, it's a function of literally puberty. I can't stress this enough. It's such a mistake that people have. They think that that puberty is just basically a physical sign of the age. Since normally puberty sets on at the same age that of das or manela, you know, so the terrorists somehow weirdly decided to use sexual signs, which is ridiculous. In reality, the halacha says that the das itself is a function of sexual capability. That's extremely important. Because the nature of das has nothing to do with what the world recognizes as mental capacities, which they measure with things like IQs and so on, which have absolutely no meaning in terms of the halacha. The meaning of das, not coincidentally, is exactly the same word that's used for sexual relations. So therefore, the function of sexuality and das is exactly the same. There's no way to avoid that if the word is the same. So then when we talk about in English, carnal knowledge, that's the closest that you'll get to that idea. Why is it true? Because the function of das, those of you who are fans of Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance will recall that the element of das that's central to the whole thesis there is the connectedness that mind provides to objects outside or people outside of oneself. A child does not have that connectedness. That's the whole point. And they may understand things a lot better than an adult, but it's irrelevant in the way that it is to the way it's relevant to an adult. It doesn't provide any connectedness. There's a basic distinction between the world inside, which is entirely solipsistic, and the world outside, to which I don't really relate except as a screen. It's like autism. Basically, every child is autistic in that way, because I can't really feel what's outside of me. The only mechanisms that we are provided for feeling what's outside of us are sexual mechanisms. Otherwise, we wouldn't have even evolved the psychological capabilities that drives the mental capabilities that are involved in connectedness. So das, indeed, is directly a sexual function, not just a simen. So therefore, over here, he's 19 years old, but he still doesn't have das. He could be brilliant. And you meet people like this in universities all the time. They're all sterile, in that sense. They're really disconnected, a sense of disconnectedness. They can talk to you and babble and tell you all the most exciting mathematical news, and they'll know all about politics, but you can't even talk to them. And so you're not talking to a person. It's like talking to a computer on some level. So that, fine, a computer can have an IQ, but that's not what you're looking for. The same thing is true over here. So he's really a cotton, and therefore the mission is saying, if he would be 20 years old, he'd still be a cotton. It doesn't matter. V'raminu, ask the Gemara, but it says over here that he's not a cotton once he reached 20. Answers the Gemara, Itmar alon, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak amar Rav, v'hu shenodalo simoni saris. When we say that at 20, he's not a and he's not a kohen, and he now is officially a gadol who is sterile, that requires additional signs of sterility, not just the absence of puberty. Amar Rava says, Rava, by the way, I mean, if you would have read carefully, you never would have had the problem. Deikanami, read the words carefully. Diktani, what did it say? Vuhu ha-saris. Vuhi ha-ayalis. What's that supposed to mean? It means, and it also is the fact that we did hereby dub him a saris. No! That's part of the raya. Bring a raya that you're 20 and that you are a saris. How do you do that? The only way you could do that is by the physical signs of sterility. Shmamina. So that proves it clearly. We're not talking about a 20-year-old with signs. We're talking about a 20-year-old without signs. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying a 20-year-old who simply has not reached puberty, but can't show that he's never going to reach puberty, is still going to be a kohen. Ask the Gemara and the Vechilono, Dula Simanes, who's at Kamas, where the guy's 90 years old, he's still a kohen. I mean, it doesn't happen at some point at which a person grows up. Tani Devei Rebbe Chia. We talk about Shivim Shana being the normal lifetime, as David HaMelech says. So 35 years of age already, if he ain't got it now, he ain't ever going to get it. So now that's viewed already as growing up. Of course, in modern days, we've been able to extend that a great deal. You have lots of 60, 70-year-olds who said, when I grow up, I'll know what it is I want to do. But I think Amara didn't know that phenomenon. Okay. When a person would be brought, who was 20 years old, and would be brought in front of Rava in order to determine whether he was sterile and therefore a gadol, the Ben Esrei, or whether he's still a kohen. So first of all, if he was like a very emaciated person, on Baal Lahu, he would tell the people that were bringing him for Bedika, Zilu Ivrui. The first thing is, will you please fatten this kid up? And then we'll discuss it. I mean, somebody who's malnourished like this, and I mean, maybe he hasn't reached puberty. You know, fatten him up, give him the chance to be well nourished. The Borean, if he's a fat slob, Amalu, they would say to them, look, Zilomashka, wait, first before we even decide what we find, let us make him normal again, all right? Send him to a gym for a couple of months, and then send him back to me. Dahani Simonin, Zimni Denatri Machmas Kechishuta, Zimni Denatri Machmas Biriyuta. Because when it comes to pubic signs, you may miss them because of emaciation. You may, in fact, not be able to maintain puberty. Or you may miss them because he's so fat and overly nourished with that all that cellulose over there is preventing the growth of his pubic hairs. Wait until he's normal, then bring him back. Hadron la Chayisha Rabba. Nosim al ha'anusavi ala mefuta. Now, as we've taken for granted all along, now we're finally going to get into the details of some of these arayas that are arayas only because of marriage. Let us make it very clear that there's that whole set, which in the last parak we took as a davar pashut, a whole set of relatives, a wife's sister and a wife's mother and a grandmother and stuff. Those relatives are only usher once you married a woman. And just to make it absolutely clear, sleeping with a woman is not marrying a woman. And all of those relative issues are only put into effect once there is a marriage. But somebody who rapes a woman, or somebody who seduces a woman, or has any type of casual relationship with a woman that doesn't involve a kinyan, her wife, her sister's mutter, her mother is mutter, there's no such issue, as we'll see what we're medayek from. But the other way around, somebody is married to a woman, and now he figures, okay, so I can rape her mother-in-law. I mean, didn't the rabbi say it's all right as long as you're not married? You know, so the other way around, I'll rape her sister. I'll seduce her sister. But I didn't marry a woman and her sister. I married a woman and then had a casual relationship with it. Oh, no. The other way around, you're chayav karas. So in other words, the issue clicks into effect. Who is the erva once there's a marriage? Whether it's the marriage of the mother that asks the daughter, or the marriage of the daughter that asks the mother. That's why these things work equally in all directions. And wherever you first have a marriage, now the iser is on the krovot. The same thing, says the Tanakhama, works when it comes to certain other relationships that are defined specifically through marriage. So, therefore, let's say a man now rapes or seduces a woman, and his son wants to do the same. I mean, like father, like son. You know? So, but he's a lot better than the father, so he decides that he wants to marry the woman that his father just had a casual relationship with. He can. because the casual relationship doesn't answer. It's not his mother. It's not his father's wife. So therefore, no say Adam and Usat Aviv and Mufutat Aviv. And how about if the father wants to marry the woman that his son has been sleeping with for a while? He can. Because a father can now go and take Anusat Beno and Mufutat Beno. Because since there never was a marriage, there was no relationship that defined the Isra of Kirva. This is not your daughter-in-law. This is your son's girlfriend. If she likes you better, by all means, marry her. And therefore, all of these things are dependent on starting with the act of marriage.
Once
he marries her, then the whole thing goes into effect. Exactly. Rabbi Yudah on there? Rabbi Yudah, Oseh, rather? Panusat Avim and Fat Avim. Rabbi Yudah says, well, you're right when it comes to sister-in-law, mother-in-law, and your son's wife, yes. However, there is a law, not Koras, but there's an Isser when it comes to marrying a woman that your father had a relationship with. It doesn't matter. As long as they weren't married, it's only a law, but it's still a law. Says the Gemara, Tanina Lo Datan Rabbanan, this Mishnah basically is telling us precisely what we all know from the Braita of Anasi Shah, a man who rapes a woman, Mutarli Sabita. He is allowed to marry her daughter. But Nasai Shah, once he marries a woman, Asurli Sabita. At that point, he is not allowed to take her daughter. Vramin, we ask now on this whole idea from a Braita. Hanit'an min ha'isha. When there are rumors going around that a man has been sleeping with this woman, that man becomes usher to marry her mother, her daughter, her sister, and here you're saying it's okay. That's just the Durabana. Oh, really now? There's an Isser Durabana, and you're saying to me, but the Mishnah nonetheless says Nos'im ala Musa. Last I heard, Nos'im means it's perfectly okay. Isn't that what the word means? Nos'im, I go right ahead. Be my guest. That's what Nosim means. Are you telling me that the Mishnah now, Nosim? Oh, I guess you've seen a lot of this, huh? That where we have an Isser Rabbanan, the Mishnah will nonetheless say, be my guest. After all, it's only an Isser Rabbanan. I mean, that's ridiculous. Can't be talking about that there's an Isser at all. It's even the Chatfila. So how do we square these two issues? Is it Usser or is it Mamish Mutter? Huh. Obviously, there is a case. Our Mishnah is talking about the case where he's no longer alive. So in other words, the actual woman that created the Isser, that he was on Isser Mefata, is no longer living. So therefore there's not going to be any basis on making a gezeirah.
She's not.
I mean, he's not. He's the one that we're allowing. We're saying, go right ahead. It's not a problem. Minani Mili. Okay. So how now do we get the idea that some of the Arayas of the Torah are defined by just a relationship, and some are defined by the technicality of marriage? The Tana Rabbana, the Braisa points out, every one of the Arayas, you take a look, read Parshas Kedeshim, it talks about all of those cases. The word that's used is Shriva. Shriva, don't sleep with. Euphemism. But nonetheless, it's a Shriva. And then there's one case, Kanema Kicha. And yet, here we have a case where it says, for some reason, Kicha, Ikach, Ishav, Ki Ikach es Ishav es Ima, or Ishalach otalot Ikach. How come all of a sudden we drop the word of sleeping with? And we use the classic word for kicha, which is, of course, kicha, kicha, mistei Ephraim, is the whole basis of the concept of a kinyan, which is the idea of kedushin, not of sleeping with somebody. So there's got to be a meaning to that. And therefore, Lomar Lecha, it's coming to teach me, derech likuchin asra Torah, the Torah only asra this relationship of isha ubita, or isha alachota, lo tikach, only through marriage. It's only derech kicha. Omalei Rav Papa Labai, is that so? Because I happened, interestingly enough, to notice another pasuk that also talks about kicha, and last I heard was, it had nothing to do with kicha. It says, Isha sheyikach et achoto. I mean, I guess that only means you can't marry your sister. But it's okay if you've been sleeping together. I mean, so, it's a hokanami. You're telling me, Isha sheyikach et achoto bat avivo batimo. Hokanami, why? You're going to tell me the same thing? Derech kicha hu diyasa. Derech shchiva, sorry, there's no problem in sleeping with your sister. Is that what you're saying? So clearly, the word kicha is not limited to kedusha. Omar Lay, that's not the point. The point is this, that the word lekuchin ktsivi b'toras stam. Okay, the Torah can use the word lekuchin, yes. The question over here is the context that defines what we're talking about. So, ha-ro'i lekicha kicha, where the whole point is that we're talking about a relative through marriage, so then it's clear that what's meant is the marriage. But where we're talking about a relative who is a blood relative, so then there the Torah is using kicha as a further aspect of a royal shchiva. The word to take can also mean to physically take. That's the point. Rava says, point is that Pasuk says something else. If someone was ma'anis and isha, mutar li sabita mihach, I'll show you in the Pasuk that it is permissible to marry her daughter. And this is such a beautiful, beautiful deal. He says, look, on the one hand, doesn't the Torah say, ervat bat bincha bat bincha lo tigala? You cannot sleep with your granddaughter, your son's daughter, your daughter's daughter. Okay, now, note the stress on yours. You're the granddaughter, bat bincha, right? Your son's daughter. You can't sleep with. Okay, but isn't the mashma'ut that if it's not your granddaughter, it's just you married a woman who's got a granddaughter. So the mashma'ut is that you would be allowed to sleep with that granddaughter. It's only because she's carrying your own genes that we view her as being an Erica, right? But then, so habatida, ubatbita, babinadida, her, the woman that you're now married to or sleeping with, her granddaughter, through her son, her granddaughter, through her daughter, golly, you can take that. That's not a problem. But the Torah itself then goes in and says, ervat isha ubita lo tigale, et bad benavet bad vita lo tigale. Here it talks about, don't sleep with her granddaughter, and doesn't mention the fact that this is your granddaughter. Now make up your mind. Is this granddaughter Asura only because she's yours? Or is she Asura because she's a woman that you also have a relationship with? And which one is it? You can't say in one pasuk only if it's yours, and then in the other pasuk say if it's hers. Ah, you see? Okay. Says Robert, that's the point. Okay, so, kan ba'onasin, kan ba'nisuin. The point is that the Torah here is making it very clear. There are certain relatives that are yours, usher to you, because of their genes, because of blood. That's your granddaughter. But there are certain relatives that are usher, even if they're not blood. But that's lo tikach. So therefore, we have two completely different issues. You have to understand, an isha ubita lo tigala, that's talking about where you had a relationship of nisuin. Okay, but it doesn't say that the Pharisee does it. I mean, it just says there's two cases. Maybe the two cases are the other way around. Maybe if you went ahead and raped a woman, so maybe the Torah is saying, okay, rapist, you have a horrific sexual appetite, we're going to answer this woman and her grandchild and I don't care, son's child, they're all answer to you. A person who went ahead and marries a woman, okay, over there, it's only your own grandchild that we're worried about. I mean, maybe that's the way to look at it, and instead of the way you're looking at it. I mean, we don't know which case is which, so maybe they now, let's say, we answer on a scene, as Tosa says, because you already did something so terrible, you are part of the problem in this world. Umal aharet zima. So once you've created a world of zima, we answer you much more than we would answer others. No, says the Gemara. You can't say that, because that is applying a standard which is irrelevant to the parasha of Arias. In Arias, what's important is that the Torah calls them she'er. She'er basar. She'er basar means that there is no sense of this being mine. It's shared. We're related. So that requires, that she'er basar requires a relationship of sort. So we're talking about benisuin, but there you have she'er. But ba'onasim, what's the she'er? Don't talk about she'er. Just talk about isha ubitah. If the element is zima, that's all you have to say. So obviously, the determining element is not the amount of zima in the world. The determining element is the amount of she'er in your relationship. So that can be achieved either by it's actually being shared flesh, or by it's being a sense of sharing that is defined as being man and wife. But you can't just ask for something because you don't like the guy's behavior. Rabbi Yehuda goes that, and he says, Anusa David is Asr. Omer of Gidol Amarav, my time in Rabbi Yehuda, where does he get this new Isser from? of marrying a woman that is your father's anusa. I mean, the Torah never talked about it. It always says eshet. Eshet avicha. So, eshet means a woman that he's married to, not a woman that he's been carrying on with. Ah, it's a new iser, says Rabbi Yehuda. Because it says, lo yikach eshet eshet aviv. That's true. That iser is talking about a woman who's married to your father. But then the Torah adds, v'lo yigale knaf aviv. What was that talking about? Let him not uncover the father's skirt, so to speak. What's that referring to? I'll tell you what it's referring to. Knaf shira'a aviv. Lo yigale. On the one hand, yes, there's an iser of taking a father's wife, but there's also an iser of taking the woman that he's been picking her skirt up, so to speak, been after her. So there you also can't sleep with her. Well, I mean, how do you know that's referring to an anusa? Look at the context, please. The pasuk immediately before was talking about rape. It said over there, V'natan ha'ish ha'shochev imah la'vi ha'nahara chamishim kasa. Was it referring to a guy who went ahead now and raped a woman? Takas asher inah. Those are the closing words. If you want to rape a woman, so lo yuchal shalchako yamav, that's it, you're stuck with her. Right? So if that's the case, when you go on now in the very next pasuk and you say, and for that matter, you can't even take lo yikach ishet eshet aviv, lo yikach knaf aviv. What do you think it's referring to in context? The smichas proves to you, and this of course was our raya earlier that reviewed a darsh in smichas when it comes to dvorim. The smichas proves to you that we're talking about a case of rape. It's all in the context of rape. Okay? V'rabbanan. The rabbanan say, look, don't teach us lessons about smichas. We're the ones who always darsh in smichas. That's the yes, if it would be a smichas, all of a sudden you're converted. If this would be a real smichas, we'd agree with you. But it's not a real smichas over here, you see. Yes, you'd be right. If we went straight to the words, we'd say 100%. But why, if it's a smichas, does it interrupt with the words, eshet aviv? Now, eshet aviv means we've now dropped the rape scenario, and we're talking about a guy who's married to a woman. It's eshet aviv, okay? So therefore, it's not talking about smichas. What the Torah, if it wanted to do smichas, it would have inverted it. It would have said, lo yikach knaf aviv, lo yikach eshet aviv. Therefore, we say it's got to be coming from something else entirely. And hashtag lo samech le, since the pasuk is making a point of bedavka not saying it b'smichut, it's teaching us the halacha of Ravanan. The Omer Ravanan on Shmuel, b'shomeret yavam shel aviv ha-katuv medaber. What we're talking about over here is a knaf, meaning my knaf aviv, knaf hara'ui la'aviv. Here is a woman that your father never laid eyes on, certainly never laid hands on, but your father's brother was married to her, and now your father's brother died without leaving any children, and now your father gets a letter from a bezdin in Timbuktu that he's got a woman that he has to be miyabing. Now you want to go in and take that woman? That woman is the knaf that is meant for your father. That's the point. And that you're not allowed to take. What do you mean you're not allowed? Of course you're not allowed to take. If she felt the yibum, it means she was already married to your uncle. And the Torah says you're not allowed to marry the wife of a father's brother. And if it's not your father's brother, then she isn't the yibum. So you can't possibly be telling me that this woman anyway wasn't a surah. Mm-hmm. So she's my toda. So you're right. But obviously, sometimes the Torah creates now additional surim to give us an insight into the mechanisms here. And besides the fact that this woman is your auntie and you're not allowed to marry her, it's important for you to recognize that the very fact that she's ru'uya to your father with Zika creates new Isurim. And that changes the way you look at life and creates an additional Isur lav, and therefore you would basically be chayev for that lav, Malkus as well. Oh, as the Gemara. Okay, but as our president says, that anyway is also because she's a Yavam al-Ashuk. So what do we need that? She should be B'davka Asura to him. Tepuk, Le Mishum Yavam al-Ashuk. Why can't it be now? Anyway, we would have known that there's an Isra Lav. Okay, fine. But this is another Isra Lav. Lav Vara Lav Mishlosha Lav. You're right. But that's a different idea. That's universal. It's universal Isra Lav of Yavam al-Ashuk. There's a specific Isra on this child, I mean, this son of the father. I mean, he's 45 years old, but on this son of the father, because it's his auntie. But there's an additional Isser that has to be recognized, that Yibum, it's the Zika, the Yibum itself, creates now Isserim that Aser her on the son of the father who is in line to do Yibum.
If his father would have given him Chalitza, would you still be Asur to him?
If what?
If his father would have given him Chalitza.
So that's the next case. Ibayit Ema, or we could be talking about where the father died, in which case now there's no longer an Isser of Yibum Lashut, and therefore we want you to know that this is an Isser that remains forever and ever. In other words, just like the other Arayot, a father marries a wife, and now he dies. The son is never allowed to take the father's wife. It's not a function of his being alive. Yavam al-Ashok is a function of his being alive. So if the father died, nonetheless, this child is in a permanent state of Isser because of Kanaf Aviv. Since it was Kanaf HaRo'il Aviv at one point in the lifetime of the father, that creates a permanent Isser similar to a father's wife. A father's wife is also even after the death of a father. Father's Yavama is also even after the death of a father.
Really?
Yeah.
Once the Mishnah has already raised the issue of an Appalachian-style marriage with Anusas Aviv, Mefutat Aviv, and so on, so there's now some very fascinating riddles, which are Appalachian-style riddles, which Lamaisas Tosis points out really does not add very much, but it's just to get the Talmidim used to thinking about the nature of these strange relationships and being able to respond quickly when somebody asks them a question. So now, imagine a woman who says, "Ach mi'av v'lo mi'em, my brother from my father's side, who is not my brother from my mother's side, v'hu ba'ala de'em, who is the husband of my mother. V'ana barata de'intetei, and I am the daughter of the wife of my brother from his mother." What is that referring to? This riddle is not going to work out according to the Chachomim in our Mishnah. According to the Chachomim in the Mishnah, because the Chachomim in the Mishnah are Matir Nusas Aviv Mufutas Aviv, but not like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, who answers. According to the Chachomim... where was I? Sorry for the interruptions here. I'm in University Hospital here in Cleveland with my mother-in-law, so I have a little corner in the room to record the daf, but I may lose track of what I'm saying midday pon, and it's because the nurse walked in or something happened. I had to shut down, and then it's 10 minutes later, and I don't quite remember what I was saying after I'm going off the pause. So I believe we were up to that. According to the Chachomim, the case works out quite directly. Let's say we have a Yaakov who goes ahead now, and he rapes, Zilpah, and he has a daughter, Dina. Now, Reuven, who is Yaakov's son, goes ahead now and marries Zilpah, who is only Amutnus Muteres, because she's only Anusat Aviv, and he had never been married to her. And so now it turns out that Reuven is the brother of Dina, from the same father, from Yaakov, not from the same mother, and he is also now the husband of the mother of Dina, because he, after all, went ahead and married Zilpah, who he's allowed to do, according to the Chachomi, because she is Mefutat Aviv or Anusat Aviv. And now Dina is the daughter of his own wife, Zilpah. That's a simple case. Now how about this case, this riddle? Ahu, he's my brother, Ubrihu, and he's my son, Achate Ana Dahidarina Katpai, and I am the sister of the kid who is now on my backpack. That is very simple. That's mashkachat la, not beheter, but you could find a case, bovet kochavim abba bito. Let's say a goy now comes, sleeps with his own daughter, and has from her a son. So now this son is the daughter can now say about this son that he is her sister. Sorry, he is her brother, since both of them have come from the same goy. And she is also his son, obviously, being his brother. She is his sister as well. I better give names to this in the future. Too complex. Let me try that again, all right? Let's take an Arab by the name of Yishmael. So now Yishmael takes his own daughter, Mochalat. Now he has Nevayot as a son. So now Mochalat is the sister of Nevayot. Both of them were born from Yishmael. And also... he is her son, and she is his sister from Yishmael. That's a simple one. Third riddle. Shalom Aleichem, Bri. Oh, how are you, my son? I wanted to introduce myself. But achatichana, I happen to be the sister, the daughter of your sister. And how is that possible? That the son should be the daughter of a sister. Here we would have a guy, let's take the same Yishmael. He now sleeps with his granddaughter, who is Osnat. She is the daughter of Mochlat. And he has a son, Nivayot, from this granddaughter. So now Osnat, his granddaughter, says to her son, Nivayot, hello, baby. I am the daughter of your sister, Mochlat. Because after all, Mochlat and Nivayot were both born from the same Goy Yishmael. How about this one? Another riddle goes, popular riddle goes like this. Deloy de Dalo Davla. Hey, to you guys who are working out in the fields drawing water all day, you want to have something nice to think about? That's how Rashi learns. Lipo b'chus seder peter. Here I'm going to throw you into the pile another riddle for you to try to work out. Now, Tosus learns this is addressed to Talmid Chachomim, and he brings the Oruch's pshat, that since Chachomim draw water from deep pits of water, so they're considered to be the Dali Davla. In any event, here's the riddle. Dahai de Rana Hubar, the little child that is on my back, is my son. Va'ana Bratachua, I am also the daughter of his brother. So there, Mashkacha Babavit Kochavim Abba Bat Beno. This would be, now, let's take Yishmael again. He now goes ahead and sleeps with his granddaughter, Osnat, who is the daughter of Kedar, his son, and now she has Nivayot. So now Osnat says to Nivayot, her son, that yes, this child is my son, and she being the daughter of his brother Kedar, because after all, Kedar and Nivayot were both the children of Yishmael. How about this one? Here's a case in Appalachia where a guy runs away, refuses to pay child support, and the wife is saying, oh man, this guy, baya, you and I, this is horrible, horrible, they, on this guy, my brother, Meach, he's my brother. And now look at this, what a guy who has no loyalty to families. My brother, Vuhav, and baby, he is also my daddy. Vuhu Baal, and he also my man. Vuhu Barbal, and he's also the son of my man. Vuhu Baaladeim, and not only that, he's my mammy's man. And I was born to him from my mammy. And the Ana Barata Deitate, and I am the daughter of his wife. And all of this, each one of these is a reason why he ought to be paying child support. And the guy refuses to send any money to the children that are living, the brothers of the poor orphans that are all his family, and he's not supporting them. Mashkachasan, obviously the case over here is. And Ovikachovim sleeps with his own mother and has a daughter. And now Chazar Baal Otobat. Now he goes and he sleeps with the daughter also. And now the grandpappy goes, Chazar Zakenu Baal Avali Bimena Banim. So now let's once again take the cases of Yishmael. Okay, Yishmael goes and sleeps with his mother, Hagar. And he has Mochlat. And then Yishmael goes and he sleeps with Mochlat, his daughter, who is now also his sister, because it's a sister from the mother. And now Yishmael's father goes ahead and also sleeps with Mochlat, his granddaughter, and has now a number of sons, and now he dies. Yishmael refuses to pay any child support. So Mochlat is saying about Yishmael, oh man, this guy is my brother, because after all, we're both born from our mother, Hagar. He's also my father, because he slept with Hagar and had me. And he's also my own man, because after all, he went ahead and sleeps with me. And he's also the son of the guy who's my man, because grandpappy's been sleeping with me. And he's also Bala. He's also the husband now of my mother, because he slept with Hagar. And I am the daughter of his wife Hagar. And nonetheless, even though that's repetition, those points out, we're just trying to mention the different ways of calling a relationship to complain about his unwillingness to pay child support. And with all of this, he refuses to give any money to his own poor orphan brothers, who are my children, and I am his daughter. Sad case. Now, another look into Appalachia. Ana v'at ache. Me and you, we're now brother and sister. Ana v'avuch ache. And I and your father, we're also brothers. and Ana v'imechachay, and me and your mother are sisters. How is that? Here, once again, we'll take a case of Yishmael, who sleeps with his mother, has two daughters, sleeps with one of those daughters, and has a son. So let's say again, Yishmael sleeps with Hagar. He has now two daughters, Osnat and Mochlat. Now Yishmael comes back again, sleeps with Mochlat, and he now has Nevayot. So now, at that point, Kayale Achata de'ima v'karmelahachi. So Osnat, who is the sister of the mother of Nevayot, speaks to Nevayot and says to him, you are my brother, because we were both born from Yishmael. Yishmael, your father, is also my brother, because after all, that's from Hagar, that through the mother were brothers. And not only that, your mother, Mochlat, is my sister, also from Yishmael. How about this case? Does this have to be in Appalachia, or could this even happen in Kashrut? Ana va'at b'nei achi. You and me, we are the children of two sisters. Ana ve'avuch b'nei achi. And I and your father are also the sons of two brothers, the children of two brothers. Ana ve'imech, and I and your mother are the children of two brothers. B'nei achi. Says the Gemara, this doesn't require Appalachia. This riddle can be solved without coming on to any forbidden relationships. Kigon. Reuven sheyesh lo shtei banot. Say Reuven now has two daughters, as he really had, Chogla and Noah. Okay? So now comes along Shimon, his brother, and he goes ahead and he takes, let's say, Chogla. So he takes one of these sisters. Okay, now, the Ata, now let's say Kehat, who is the son of Levi, Levi being a third brother. And he goes ahead and he marries now the other one. When Asaf Chadmi now, he goes ahead and he marries Noah. The Ka'amra Le, Berei de Shimon, Levar Berei de Levi. So at this point, the child of Shimon tells the grandson of Levi, so he could say Amram if we had a case of God. So he talks to Amram. And he says, you know, me and you are the sons of two sisters, Chogla and Noah, Reuven's daughters. And not only that, I and your father, Kehat, we are also the children of two brothers, namely Shimon and Levi. And not only that, I and your mother Noah, who is the daughter of Reuven, are also the children of two brothers, namely the children of Reuven and Shimon. Okay, continues on now. Zakar Elaka Mishnah, Hagioret Shinidgaru Benaima. We have now a Gioret who brings along her children with her into the Gior. They then will go in and get married, and one of them dies. Lo chotziv lo b'yabnim. The surviving brother of the ger is not considered to be a brother to the brother who is deceased. There's no din of chalitza, and there's no din of yibum, because gerim are not considered to be related from their father, because, after all, we know that the children of goyim are considered to be zirmat susim, they're not considered to be miuchasim. And this is true not only in a case where they were born to their mother while she was a goyim, but afilu harato shelishon shelo b'kedusha, even if now his mother got pregnant while she was a goyim, v'leidato b'kedusha, and now this child gets born after she becomes a gioret, whereas the second brother was horato v'leidato b'kedusha. So now it turns out that both of these children were born Jewish from the same mother, the mother of the gioret. And the not only that, but the second one was completely Jewish. I mean, she even got pregnant with him while she was already a Jewess. Nonetheless, since the first brother over here, well, he was conceived at a time that she is not considered to be, she was still a Goya, so then there is no relationship of Achva through the father, only through the mother. So therefore, there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza, because Achva, after all, is a function. Yibam is a function of Achva Mina'ab. V'chein shivcha shnishtachru b'na'ima. So too, the same thing would happen. If a shivcha gets a get shichrur, and her children, they go also, and they're also freed, they're considered to be unrelated, and therefore, if one of them dies after marrying, there's no din that the other one should marry the brother's wife. There's no relationship. There's no din of Achva over here through a common father. Now, the din of an Eved that has no chiyus comes from the din of Shvulach and Poim HaChamor, if you recall, that it's considered to be Am Hadome L'Chamor. The Ger is not considered to be Kirva because of another reason. It's because a gershin is gairis, as a din of ketino shemil adami, and therefore has no kirva to anyone from the time of the goyut, whether it's from the father or from the mother. Therefore, there's no din of yibum. It's only in the end of the Mishnah, we'll talk about a case where the leida of one of them was bekedusha, they still don't need to be miyadeh. So then we need also this additional svara that the Torah was mafkir, the children from the father, because of zirmatz sam zirmatan, because over there you don't have the halacha of the gershon etgayer, because he was born as a Jew. And since the first brother was a rasa shalom bekedusha, it's considered to be zirmatz sim, and he doesn't have a father for all intents and purposes, and therefore there's no din of yibum. Now we're going to see in the Gemara what the halacha is lagabi the heter. Are you allowed to marry the woman that the brother had married? Says the Gemara, there was a case of Bnei Yudin Amtsa. They were children of a certain Shivcha with the name of Yudin. Ishtachr, they all were Mishtachrer, and Rav Acha bar Yaakov allowed them to marry each other's wives. So Leminsa Nashidada, they said they were allowed to marry one, the other was allowed to marry the woman of their brother after the death of the brother. It was not nothing to do with Yibum over here. It was even where there were children. He was martyred because Gershon is Karakakachus and Nailad, and therefore they're not related. So he said, it's okay. Omar le Rava, so Rava said to Rav Acha, Rav Sheshes Osar. Rav Sheshes said that a Shivka is not allowed to marry. The sons of a Shivka are not allowed to marry now the brother's wives. Omar le, so Rav Acha said, really, it's nice. Who Asar? He did. He said, it's Osar. That's good. Va'ana Shrina, but I still say it's Mutter. And why you're asking me for Rav Sheshes? Entitled to his opinion. What's the machlokas over here? So if you're talking about brothers mina av, lo mina em, if brothers would be related as goyim only from a common father, then for sure there's no problem. Kulei amalo pligid ashari. Certainly Rav Sheshes would never have asserted marrying the wife of a brother, because over there, there's nobody would suspect that there's actually any relationship, because the norm in Mishpachot of Akum is that they're not going to be born from the same man. Everybody knows that. Why should we assume that it's the father, the same father, and therefore say that there is a kurva? So forget about it. You don't even need the svara that a guy doesn't have a din of kurva because of zirmatzu sim zirmatan. But over here, I mean, look, obviously we're asering them if they were brothers from a mother, because not everybody knows the din of gershon olav kikotin, gershon shenizgar kikotin shenela. But the thing is that they immediately would conclude not that brothers are allowed to marry each other's wives, but that these guys aren't really brothers. Therefore, it's not a problem. If we're talking about when they were brothers, mina'im, v'lo mina'av, kulei amalot pligi d'yasser, everybody is maida, that in that case it's aser, and also, I mean, not only Rav Sheshes, Rav Acha bar Yaakov would also have said in that case that it's aser. Because not everybody knows that the new Gershon is Gerke Katan Shemayel Adami, and therefore they may come to mistake and think that this would be mutter even in a Jew. Ki pligi the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Acha bar Yaakov is only in a case where they are brothers from both the av mina av umina em. So man deshori, Rav Acha says there's no problem over here, because both are abba shadina da b'nei perlanya karalahu. These people view as being brothers from a father only, because the father's name is always mentioned, so-and-so's son. And usually Mishpacha goes according to the father. And people don't even realize that they're brothers from the mother, and therefore they were matir then because of the svara that why assume that there's any yeser, whereas Rav Sheshes says that since they're also known as Karle Nami B'nei Polonit, since his brothers are also known by the name of their common mother, so over there people will say, oh, so they really are brothers. So because, I mean, they can't fake out the same mother, why then are they allowed to marry their brother's wife? After all, a brother's wife is also whether it's a brother from a mother or from a father. And therefore, we had to ask her in this case, the because of the gezerah, we had to ask them from marrying the other guy's wife. And that's how Rashi learns that Ritva writes, that it's not that they're called only one or the other. Rav Acha's svara is that since usually they're called Al Shema Av, we should be matur. It's not that he's arguing about the Metzias as to whether or not they're known by the name of the father and mother. Beikaniyam. Others learn that Rav Acha bar Yaakov argues, Polig, Rav Acha bar Yaakov on Rav Sheshes, Afilu ba'achin mina'im. He argues even from brothers that are really known only through their mothers, they're only brothers related from the same mother. And he said that to his mutter, my time of wine. because he feels that everybody knows that Gershon and Karek Katan Shino Ladomi, and therefore there is no chashash in this case that they will come to make an error and say this would be mutter even if the brothers were Jewish. So I didn't have to make the gzera. So now the Gemara is a kasha and Rebacha. It's not. It says in our Mishnah, Giorech and Itgayru Banea Imalo Chotzim Elo Miyadmin. In a case where the children became gerim together with the mother, there's no din of chalitza yibam. Not my time. What possible reason would there be to tell us that they're not miyavim? La mishum de'asir? Is it because they're usher to be miyavim? We don't want people to make the mistake of thinking that even Jewish brothers in such a case would also be miyavim. We're talking even after all about brothers that have children. We may make the mistake of being matir brothers to Jews as well, and that seems to show that Rebacha is wrong. It says that over here it's usher, so apparently it's usher to be to take the woman. It says Rebacha, absolutely not. No, it's not because it's usher. It just means that in a betoras chalitz v'yibum. It means that they're not chayev. There's no inyev yibum here at all. V'shari la alma, and therefore the woman who was married to the deceased brother is not a yavama, and she's muteres to marry anybody, including this ostensible brother. Inunamishar, the brothers of the husband are also mutter, because they're not considered to be related. Ask the Gemara, how can you learn that? V'katoni afilu. Excuse me, but the continuation of the Mishnah says that the halach, this would be true afilu. In other words, when the first brother was harasa shalobi kedusha v'leidasa bekedusha, and the second one was harato v'leidato bekedusha, so then even in such a case, it's osir, right? The Mishnah is that even though in that case you would have thought that it's mutter, that there's a chiddush in asering it. So, if the meaning of the Mishnah that said, there's no din of chalitza, is that there's no heter for them to marry, and that it's osir, so then you have to say, even in this case, it's also osir. Meaning, even though lemaisa, these children are really, in a sense, not related at all, because, I mean, the mother was in a completely different state when she was conceived. So since the first one, she was a Goya, and the second one was after Gerus, so it looks as if they're not even related to the mother, because the mother has a different status now. And they're not considered to be brothers at all, even brothers mina'im. So you might have thought that you could be matir them, the woman of one another, because they're not related in any way. Therefore, the Mishnah needs to be mechadesh that afilu, even though that the halacha of here would tend towards iser, would tend towards heter, afilu achi asirin. Nonetheless, that it's still also because of the gzera that we may be matri yisrael in a similar case. But if you're coming to tell me that the Mishnah is basically discussing heter, yamer charu, and the only inyan of that that there's no chalitza yibum is that there doesn't need to be, so then what are you saying afilu? There's no chiddush to be matir. Even this case is obvious. You're not making it more, tending more towards Isser in this case. Because what difference would there be if we're talking about being matter to Yavam al-Ashuk? What's the difference whether they're from one mother or from two mothers? I mean, the only, when I say two mothers, I mean two halachically different mothers, even though it's the same biological person. I mean, why would that have anything to do with being matter to Yavam al-Ashuk? The most it has to do with is the question of brothers being allowed to marry each other's wives. Are they brothers or not? So there does not seem to be a way to read this Mishnah as if it's talking about something that is now going to be mutter. No, there is. Maybe what it's saying is like this. Maybe the point is over here. What it's saying is even though there's a case where both of them were born to a Jewish mother, forget about when they were conceived. And you would think now that therefore it's easy to mix them up with Yisrael. Nonetheless, even so, they did not fear for such a gzera, because everybody knows that Yibum between brothers is a function of having a common father. And since over here he was fathered by someone who's not a father because he still has a goy. Okay, so over there they're not related. That's all the point is. And there's no chashash lechluf of Yisrael. So therefore it's mutter now for the Eishes Ach to marry without chalitza. Maybe that's all, maybe that's the point. As a matter of fact, there's another way of reading the whole thing. Ikan Yamri. Some actually say it like this, that we should bring a raya from the end of the Mishnah to Rebacha. Akinami Mistavra. The way to read the Mishnah is reasonable, like Rebacha, that it's talking about the shoro, that brothers that were in his guy are allowed to marry each other's wives, the Ketani. Since it says in the end, afilu, And he amit bishleim ashor amit tani afilu. If you're going to tell me that we're tending towards heter, therefore it says afilu. The afagav de tarveh lidatim b'kedusha. And this way takes the answer of the previous pshat as the obvious basis of the other way of looking at it, in order to bring a riot to Ravacha. So in other words, there what it would be saying is, even though both of them were born b'kedusha, and therefore da'atzilich lufim Yisrael, you may come out to be matir, and you vomal ashuk when you have brothers b'na'av. Nonetheless, afilo ha'chishare, that people don't see this as brothers b'na'av. Eliyamet Asiri, if you're going to tell me, not like Ravacha, like Rapshashis, that it's also for a brother to be miyabim, the wife of a brother, who, that both of them came now from the mother who was a giyaret. So my afilu, what would be the point of saying afilu? And now the Gemara comes around and says, no, there is. The Chiddush is, again, as we assumed earlier, the afagav the rishon aratoshu shalom b'kdusha, v'leidato b'kdusha, v'asheni aratoshu v'leidato b'kdusha dikishtehim ahotam. Now, it's a completely different point. The other point is that I might have thought that they don't even share a common mother, and therefore we should be martyred them, since one of them, after all, is from a Goyish mother was conceived, and the other one was conceived from a Jewish mother. Nonetheless, the Mishnah has to come along now to tell me the Chiddush, that they're also in Yibum Midiraisa, because they're considered to be now Achim Min Ha'im. Toshma. Okay, let's look at the Shnei Achim Ta'omim Gerim. Let's say you have two brothers who are actual twins. So we know that they were twinned. And since we know they were twinned, it is not reasonable to assume that there were two fathers. I mean, the case of twins being born from two fathers is exceedingly rare. It's much more reasonable to assume that there was actually a twinning from the same cells of the father and mother. So now, we no longer have the additional factor to consider as to whether perhaps there were really two different fathers. In this case, we're assuming there's one father. And the same thing, v'chein mishucharim, where you have twins that became mishucharim. They're lo chotzim v'lo miyabmim. V'ein chayavim mishum eshet ha'ach. If they take the brother's wife, they are not chayav. Now, note the word chayav. They're just not chayav. If they were conceived, these twins, before the mother became a giyoret, and then they were born after she became a giyoret, because since in that case they're not mityaches to their fathers, so then the brother who died, his wife is allowed to go ahead and get married, and she's not a yevam l'shuk. Aval, if now the brothers will marry the wife of their brother, then, indeed, they would be chayavim mishum eshet ach. They would be chayav over there, because at the time of birth, she was, after all, completely Jewish. Haytau ratan v'leidatan b'kedusha, sedan aram ki Yisrael melchol devrayan. There you do yibum and chalitz, and so on. Now, looking back, notice, katani miyat, in the opening of this braita, it says about twins, ein chayavim mishum eshet ach. There would not be a chayav of Eshet Ach, which is Mashma, is just not a Chiyav. Yuvalek. In other words, so there won't be Chayav Karas, there won't be Chayav on a Karban, and so on, right? Because a Gershon is Gaira Kakatan Shanoila Dami. But, it's just that there's no Chiyav, but certainly it's Mashma Ut is, that there is an Isra, a Yisura Iko, which is Mashma like Rav Sheshes, and not like Rabacha, who was Matir Achim, Mina Av Umina Aim. So, in Mashma, that there is an Isra based on the fact of a Gezerah. That maybe someone will come to be matir now, Yisrael, in the same situation. Answers Ravachu Adin Efilosir and Amilek. Fact is, there is no Yisrael at all. The only reason we use the word, not Chayavim, which implies that yes, is Asurim, is because I did a boy, the mystery Seifa, Aval Chayavim, Tonin Amiresha ain't Chayavim, it's just because we wanted to talk about the case of being Chayav, if they would take, if they were born as Jews. So then it says also in the Reisha they're not Chayav. And that's the Tana did not have to mention Beferish that they're not Usur to marry, which you'd say is a bigger Chiddush, because what he wanted to do is talk about a case where the Leila was B'Kedusha, that they are Chayav because of Eshet Ach, and therefore he said the case in the Reisha that they're not Chayav. But the truth is that there is not even an Isser. Even though it would have been a bigger Chiddush, it wouldn't have been parallel. Perhaps. In other words, Rav Acha can certainly answer the Mishnah like this.